welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Hallelujah. Tonight I want to speak to us a bit about a garment, in a sense, a garment which is our Lord Jesus Christ. But before I carry on with that, or I carry on this topic for tonight, I just want to recap a bit about this morning. And this morning I spoke a bit about a mark of a true Christian, and spoke about that God has placed on His sons, His daughters, His believers, a mark, a seal, as a guarantee, as a proof, as an identity that we are His. And we'll discuss and look at a lot of scriptures this morning, knowing that the seal God has placed upon us is the Holy Spirit. And then that I also believe that we cannot enter into an intimate relationship with Jesus, yet not enter into heaven, if we do not have the Holy Spirit, which is our seal, which is our assurance of salvation, as we read in the Word. And we also discuss about how we just so need, not even more than the Holy Spirit is a guarantee or a tag in a sense, the Holy Spirit is our necessity for our day-to-day lives in walking in the path God has set out before us, but more than that, knowing the heart intent of God, His wisdom, His thoughts, and to truly get to know Him intimately as it is His desire to know us so intimately as well. And then we read together out of the book of Romans, and there was a sort of a set list of how a true Christian should live his life, of many things to do. And you know what's the root of all those things? Yes, you can only do it through the Holy Spirit, but the root of all those things, the foundation which is intertwined with all those things, is love. And it should be our motive, it should be our root in everything that we do. Not only church stuff, but everything that we do. Because God sent His only Son because He loved us. Jesus died on the cross because He loved us. So as a type of a foundation for tonight, I want us to keep in mind those things that we as God's sons and as God's daughters, He has given us His seal. And it's that, like when a king sends a letter and marks it with a stamp, that seal, the person receiving the letter knows this comes from that king. The same as when we will stand in front of the gates of heaven one day, they will know that we are God's because of the seal He has placed upon us, which is the Holy Spirit. And I'm really trusting God that through the Word tonight and through the ministry later on, that the Holy Spirit will come and ignite in us again and remind us again of who He is and of what it means to have received Him. Because earlier in intercession, you know, God just revealed so much what He has been revealing to me throughout this afternoon, that we felt that there are some people here tonight that are placed in the desert, but you're just wearing the complete wrong clothes to be in the desert. You're wearing torn garments, and the elements, they are just, you know, they're beating on you, and you're feeling the pain. You are maybe even taking offense or taking pain or hurting the church setup because you are not wearing or equipped with that which God has given you for that environment, for that setting, for that season. You know, because God says we cannot live on the same bread than yesterday. We should get new, fresh manna every single day. So if we have been spending time with God, this great time with God 2 weeks ago, we are just so missing what God wants to do today. And if we're not spending time with God tomorrow, we are so missing and so not in the place of being ready for that which He wants to do in that day. So I'm really trusting God that He will come and give us new garments tonight, that He will take away the torn garments, the garments that are not ready for the environment we are in, and give us Himself as we will look into some more detail as we go along. So I would love it if we can read together out of Romans 13, verse 8 to 14. Fulfilling the law through love. owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, nor covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, but the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That portion of Scripture is quite straightforward, I believe, if we read it. Very clear line of what we must not do, but a clear line of what we should do as well. If we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should not put off putting on. You know, Paul did not recommend this putting on of Jesus as a good thing to do, but he actually urged him to do it as a with an urgency in his voice, as a necessity, as a must, to do it now and to do it every single day. Because if we are not clothed with Jesus and his characteristics, in a sense, with his righteousness, with his holiness, with his love, what will we fall into? We will fall into all of those things. Drunkenness, jealousy, quarreling, orgies, sexual immorality. Because those are the things that we are surrounded with every single day. When we switch on the TV, when was it, last night or something, you just switch on and the ads are just so full of just such hectic things, actually. So we are surrounded with these things which we are warned by Paul not to fall into, not to indulge ourselves into. And the only way to not do that is to put on Jesus, to put on Christ. But with that, we need to separate ourselves from the world. We can no longer say, God, I'm going to keep on doing what I have been doing, but I expect you, in a sense, just to block everything. But we need to consecrate ourselves and still live righteously in the environment God has placed us. We should still pay taxes. We should definitely pay our speeding fines, because if we don't, then it's two sins we have committed. We have sped and we have not paid the speeding fine. We should still obey the law of this land because it's God's will. We should all go to Gap Night the night before election and pray for the government, because God has commanded us to pray for our governments, our ruling authorities. Because if we do not do that or speak badly of them, we curse ourselves. So God has, you know what? God is actually so great. He has given us a guideline to live our lives. We should just really read it and spend time in it. And as I shared this morning, you know what? The Bible is not a book you need 15 degrees to understand. It is simple. It is easy. And what it says is what it says. There's no hidden message between it. You should not hide away two words and only read the two words next to it. You should just read it as it is. God has given us his handbook of life. And I promise you, his heart behind it was not so that we need to figure it out. He just wanted us to read it and follow it. We are supernaturally set apart and separated from this world. We are expected to be different because we are different. We share a different kind of life. We share an eternal life. When we have received Christ, we have received eternity that very moment. So when people look at us and say, "You're a freak, you're weird," say, "Hallelujah." But if people look at you and think, "Yeah, yes, you're an awesome chap. You're just like all my friends," you should really start getting worried. Especially if his friends are, you know, if all his friends are missionaries, then it's good. But if they are like in the world, we should really start getting worried, because we are all aliens. Who believes in aliens? I do. Because I am one. I'm not from this world. And we should... sounds funny, but we should constantly remind ourselves about this. standards, the values which this life has put before us, man, we should definitely not be conforming to those because we are not from here. We should be listening and looking to Christ and Christ alone and say that, Lord, again, I remember I'm your ambassador, not of Pretoria, of the kingdom of heaven. So we should not submit or conform to the standards of this world. As the elect of God, you know that we are the elect of God. We are chosen. We are holy. We have been set apart. You know, because 2,000 years, or even before the beginning of time, God has chosen us. He's known every single one of us before we were born, before our parents were even born. And so He has chosen us. He has set us apart to do His work, to do His will, so that His kingdom can come not only in us, but through us as well. Like the word that came during worship, you know, that we are supposed to, what God gives us in this house, what He brings to us in our quiet times, you know what? It's not for ourselves. It's for the people around us. The church is not about individuals. It's about you need to be thinking about everyone around you. So what do we do with that which we receive from Christ? Do we just eat it in, suck it up, put it on ourselves, and we feel edified through it, but no one else does? It's great to learn more of Jesus and His word, but you know what? It is of absolute zero value if you do not pass it on to someone else. Jesus did not come. He didn't come to earth, sit on a throne, and said, I'm king. You know what? You're useless. He gave us His life. He gave us everything He had to give. Every single drop of His blood He gave to us. We need to receive God's characteristics, His kindness, His gentleness, His humility. You know, humility is not thinking less about yourself. Humility is more like not thinking about yourself at all. That's humility. We should never be thinking about how do I feel about this. We should always consider the people around us and say, God, if this is your will, let it be done. Whatever happens to me, doesn't matter. Your will be done. For me, that's more humility. And because we are God's elect, we are His chosen, we are not His slaves, we are not His servants. We are God's children, we are His sons, we are His daughters. He gave us the garment to put on, which is Himself. Just like the prodigal son, when the son returned, the father gave him a garment on his shoulders again, saying that you are my son. You belong to me. He said to us, you need to put on me. And we all know the saying, like father, like son. You know, it's so true. But I very seldomly see it in the church, actually. I see all the sons. I look at them. But who do they resemble? Who do they reflect? We as sons, as daughters, we need to reflect our father. Just like we want our children one day to, you know, learn all the good stuff about us. Yes, they will learn all the bad stuff as well, but they will in a sense resemble who we are and how we've raised them and brought them up. But more than that, we need to say, God, I want to resemble who you are because you are my father above anyone else. So let us as God's children say, God, I want to reflect who you are. If we put on Jesus, who should people see? They should see Jesus and not us. And we all know the doctrines behind baptism and what it means is that after we are baptized, we are placed in heavenly places. So when God looks at us, He sees Jesus. That's why the enemy can no longer doesn't have any influence in our lives except to lie to us and try to deceive us. But he cannot enter our lives and just take whatever he wants to. Not if we're in a place of disobedience. The same way if we put on Christ, that is who the people around us should see, is Christ. I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit. And as I'm speaking tonight, I want us to look at our lives and just see where we are. What have we been doing the last couple of weeks? And God has just been revealing to me that there are some of us here tonight with a very good intention of getting to God, of sitting down and spending time with Him. We have that very good intention, but you know what? For the last 2 weeks, we haven't got it right. And God has been waiting every single day. Our alarms went off. The meeting time has been set, but we've been missing it for the last 2 weeks. We have the good intention. We still have it. Perhaps said, maybe you know God tomorrow morning, but we haven't come to it. But I just feel that God says that He's really longing for us to return to Him, into that place of intimacy, into the place of spending time with Him. It's very easy to fall into a trap of spending time with God, to read the Word for the washing thereof, to read the Word for learning more from it, or to spend time with God because we have this bag full of problems. You know, all those things are valid, all those things need to happen. But you know what? More than that, we need to spend time with God, for God. It's not about us, ever. It's about Jesus, always. When was the last time we spent time with God, for Him? Saying that, God, here I am. You know my life. But now I'm here for You, Jesus. Speak to me. I want to know You. Tell me, how's it going with You? You know, God wants us to say that. God is just like, I don't just want to get to know You, but I want You to get to know me as well. Would you be friends of someone if the only phone you say, you know what, I've got this, this is my issues, help me, but they've never asked you, how are you doing? But I think we believe sometimes that we do not need to ask God that. Yes, He is God, I'm sure, you know, He's God. But that's not what it's about. Even though He knows all the things that are good and wrong in our lives, He still wants us to speak to Him about it. Because it's not about the stuff for God, it's about us. He's interested in us. But are we interested in God? I know we say we are. But tonight, I really don't want to bring any condemnation of everyone. I'm trying to get the words out that I'm feeling in my spirit. Let's look at the last week that went by. How many hours did we spend time with God for Him? How many hours reflected what we say about Him in our quiet time, in our when the door is shut, when no one's around? How many time went into that just this last week that went by? And know what? I would be the first one to confess. Not nearly enough. Not nearly enough. Now what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me and prompting to me, He's been waking me up the last 3 or 4 mornings very early. But do I then go and am I obedient to say, okay, God, You're the one waking me up. Why are You waking me up? You know what? If we do not make time for God, I believe He will take it somewhere. He's been waking me up the last couple of mornings. But I still haven't. I still didn't get to Him. So I want us today. Let's look at our lives. Does it match up to what we say about Jesus? Are we Christians? You know what? We are only Christians if we know Jesus intimately. Are we in a place tonight of knowing Jesus intimately? Not knowing about what He's done, about the cross, He came to earth and died and rose again. Knowing what He's feeling about you right now. Knowing what He said to you this morning, what He wants you to do today or not do today. Are we Christians, church? Because according to the Word, you are a Christian if you have an intimate relationship with Jesus. If you walk daily with the Holy Spirit, and it is so quiet in this place tonight. But again, I don't want to bring any condemnation. But I need to say what the Holy Spirit is stirring in me. And tonight, I'm almost finished. I'm sure you guys are happy with my sermon tonight. But I really felt just in preparing as well, you know what? There will be a lot of us tonight that needs to do repenting. But you know what? That's biblical still, so we're on the right path. But tonight, there are some of us, I'm the first one, that needs to do some serious repenting tonight. Saying, God, oh my word, I've wasted all this time. You've been prompting me, leading me to spend time with you. But you know what, Jesus? You know what, tonight? I'm not a Christian. Because tonight I do not know you. And you can come to me with all the theology. You know what? The truth tonight is if you do not know Jesus, you do not know him. You do not know the intents of his heart. So tonight I believe there are some of us that need to do some repenting. And then also believe there are some of us tonight that feel broken. And as Chantal shared in worship as well, and we prayed into that in intercession. And there are some of us tonight that feel so lonely. Even though we are surrounded with friends, good friends, we are surrounded with the church, we feel so lonely. And I believe that God wants to come and just hold you in his arms tonight and replace the loneliness with his love. His love which just wants to give you heartburn, it's so intense. And then also believe that there are some of us tonight that, you know, you're wearing the wrong garments. Or you've been wearing the right ones, but they've been torn because of a lack of intimacy with Jesus. And I believe he wants to come and invite you, just as Paul wrote to the Romans, saying, you know what? Do not fall into all these things of the world, but you need to put on Jesus Christ, not tomorrow, but now, because it's an urgent thing. You know, it's a positive thing. You know, the night has been long, but the day is at hand. So we need to live like we are living in the day, above reproach. We have to shine the light as we live. We need to reflect Christ. So tonight, yes, God wants to come and restore and bring us back into a place of intimacy with him and his heart and his will and his wisdom and his knowledge and his grace and his goodness. But apart from that, I also believe that he wants to set us up tonight to reflect who he is. And hope that there are some of you very excited with me tonight that when we walk out here tonight, we will reflect Jesus. And from here, if you're going to go grab some pancakes, you know what? There's going to be a bunch of Jesuses in Mug and Bean tonight. You should say like, yes, Lord, I want to sit in that restaurant. I want people to go blind because of the light that I want shining out of me. We should live with a desire to see people saved around us. If Jesus comes tonight, there's so many of us and people around us going to hell because the church messed up. Not because Jesus is bad. It's because the church didn't understand the urgency of the message. So I believe God wants to come and restore us tonight with him. Reconcile us tonight with him, but then also believe he wants to put us and position us in the place of reflecting his light, his presence. And then God also highlighted, I touched on it a bit earlier, that we should really live humble lives. It's not lives of crawling around because we are humble, it's just understanding the full power we have received from Christ. Now, if we were to see every other single person's sin like a dust particle, but our own issues like a big log in our own eyes, we would be humble. And that's a very simple, practical thing we need to live by. We all know the people around us, our friends, oh man, yes sir, let's all know. But see it as mere dust particles and look at your own shortcomings as this huge, you know, pickup truck with logs on it just lodged right into your eye. We would never say anything bad about any person around us. Is it our place to judge people? It's never been. It's always been God's place to judge people. So that's just a little add-on to what I believe God wants to do tonight. But with that, before we go into a time of ministry and a time of where I believe the Holy Spirit wants to come and really mend and heal and convict and burn with the end result of us actually getting to Jesus, getting to our Father, having the intent of saying, God, I want to know you, and actually going to get to know him. I believe that is a place God wants to bring us in, because we will not reflect him if we do not know him or spend time with him. I want to share a short testimony of what happened a couple of years ago in the DRC. And the reason I'm sharing is I just want to share God's goodness and grace and the physical outworking which I've been so privileged to see of salvation or restoration taking place when we come to Jesus. I shared this a couple of weeks ago in a missions training group. We went DRC a couple of years ago, and I went out to go and preach at this church, and there were three other people coming with me, with the translator. And when they sent us out, we were quite a big team in the DRC, so that night we preached at three or four different churches. I'm not exactly sure of the details anymore. So we went to this new church type of thing, without making the story so long. We got there and they prayed for us, and the word they sent us out with was, they see me standing in the middle of a boxing ring with four people on the sides, and we are about to have a battle of boxing. You know, that's a really weird word if someone gives you when you're about to go to church. I'm like, yes, Jesus, I thought you were love. But anyway, so we went to church, brought the word, and we could just feel God just moving so powerfully throughout the service. You know what? If you do not know it, God is so faithful. And I believe, you know, with the mission teams going out, if you fail to register for them, or you felt God didn't lead you to go on them, I want you to seriously start praying and say, God, where do you want to send me? Because he wants to send you somewhere. And get and register and sign up and go on missions, or get involved with arms outreach. Just get involved and put yourself in a position where God can use you and have his kingdom come. It's the same as praying for someone for healing. That person will not get healed. You're sitting in the back of the room just pointing to them. You actually need to go and say, you know what, Jesus heals you. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. Okay, Jesus heal them, and then the person will get healed. We need to create an atmosphere for Jesus to use us. And very strange, though, the first night, it was so, so weird. I was walking up to the stage. I had no idea what to preach on. And Jesus gave me these French words in DRC, their main language is French. And I can't speak French, like really at all. And God gave me French words to say. And he said, okay, Chris, you go stand on the stage and say, je suis fort. And that sounds very, I know what je means, it means I, but I don't know what the rest means. And God just gave me, you know, half of a sermon, which I delivered in French, because I asked God, I really need you to come through right now. Because if God didn't, you know, I would stand up, and I think we would have done a song or two, and then we would have left, because that's what we had. But anyway, God used us and pitched up and worked powerfully through us as a team. And after the word, hundreds of people responded for salvation. We started praying for them. And while praying for people, this old lady, she sort of took a swing at me. And she, what's this? And she, in the name of Jesus. I'm glad there's some life back in the room. Hallelujah. Jesus is good. And this old lady, she took a swing at me. That's why you should always pray. Some missions training now, you should always pray with your eyes open when you're in foreign countries especially. But anyway, this lady took a swing, and then, you know, she started manifesting a demon, all of that. So we made her quiet. She sat in the corner, and I just mean saying to the pastor, if you can just speak to her and ask her if she wants to get delivered, tell her to meet us at like a demon room at the back of the church where she can meet us in. It's this concrete room with one small window at the top. It's quite hectic. They should make it padded. But, you know, hallelujah, after we prayed for everyone in the service, and I almost forgot about the goal, but as we walked out, and I just walked and saw in the corner of my eye, yes, but there's this lady sitting in the chair in the middle of this room, Let's name it the D room, the deliverance room. Let's make it more positive. And so we as a team, we said, okay, let's see what's going on. And we entered the room, and I was standing in front of this girl, and the three team members were standing in the corners, and the translator in this corner. And me and this lady started just speaking, and all of a sudden, just chaos happened. All of a sudden, God was like, you know, this is the boxing rings. So I was like, yeah, okay. But you know what? After, you know, some very funny things happened. God came and he delivered that woman. And this is where I want to get to the point of the story. Is that old lady, she looked about 50 years old or so. Entered that room, came for deliverance. God delivered her. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. I stepped out of the room straight after getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I stepped out of the room. It wasn't even 2 minutes because I just walked out. I remember making a joke of the pastor and then I wanted to get back in. But when I walked back in, this girl looked up and I was sitting right in front of her. And all of a sudden, there's a 16-year-old girl sitting in the chair. This big, big, beautiful, the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen, looking straight at me. And that was the first time I could see the physical outworking of salvation. This girl has been tormented and oppressed and depressed and all oppressed by this demon. But when God came into that situation, taking away the pain, the hurt, the loneliness, the being separated from him, when he came and reconciled that little girl with him, she just, the outflowing in the natural was, I was just, okay, God, take me now. I've seen enough. I really said that. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, we see salvations every week. But that was the first time that I could see, like, the physical outworking thereof. And it was to keep that in mind. You know what? There's power in salvation. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I want us tonight to keep this testimony in mind. And if you are feeling like an old lady tonight, even if you're a guy, if you feel like an old lady tonight, with a sore back and with a sore throat, and you actually just want someone to push you around in the chair, if you feel like you need to be revived, be made sweet 16 again tonight, I believe God wants to do that. Because he didn't give us a spirit of fear, of heaviness. He gave us life, joy, and all things that pertain to life and good godliness through his Holy Spirit. So the band can start coming to the front, please, guys. And so I want us to bear the testimony in mind. And so if you feel like that tonight, I want to encourage you to respond and reach out to God tonight and say, God, I feel like this. Because of whatever the reason is, you know what, it doesn't matter what the reasons are for where we are. The only important thing is we need to respond to Jesus tonight so that we can come back into the place of feeling his heartbeat and walking in his footsteps as he walks very closely right before us. We should not give up until we have the fullness of Jesus in our lives. The word says that he will draw closer to us as we draw closer to him. He will never force himself. We cannot lie in our beds and think that God will come and all of a sudden just reveal himself to us. We need to be hungry and desperate for it. Otherwise, you know what? It is not going to happen. And we are going to miss our callings and the fullness of it over our lives. So I just really felt an urgency in my spirit as preparing and as speaking. So I'm not going to speak too much any longer. So let's respond. So why don't you all stand with me? Just want to make a first altar call. If there's anyone, you haven't given your life to Jesus at all, I'm going to make this invitation for you to just to come to the front, to my left-hand side. The ushers can start coming to the front as well. We would just love to pray with you. If there's any one of you here tonight that do not know Jesus, do not put off putting him on. It needs to happen tonight. Because tomorrow the water sucked us right back into our old habits and thoughts. and intense. So that's the first group. But also, if you're here tonight and you feel lonely, you feel that you're hurt, and perhaps the church even hurt you, your garments are torn, I believe God wants to invite you to put Him on tonight as a garment. So if you are here tonight and you feel you need to respond to have a new garment put on tonight, why don't you just come right to the center in the front here. And the third group, if you're standing here and you are one of those who've just been putting off spending time with God, with the series of really getting to know Him, as He has been unctioning you to do and prompting you to do through His Spirit, I believe it's very important that we will not just stand where we are and say, okay, Jesus, I've heard you tonight. I will really make the change. I just felt strongly that we need to respond to it tonight, because there's something holding you back. And we have given it permission to hold us back from Christ because we are struggling to meet with our daddy. So if you are like that and finding yourself very difficult to spend time with God as He has been inviting you to do, why don't you respond and come to the front, to my right-hand side. We would love to just pray with you and pray for the fullness of His Spirit and His relationship and His heart to be released over you. The band can just continue playing.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You